Hey everybody, Walking the Floor is made possible with support from Fender Play. Have you or someone you know been looking to learn how to play the guitar? Well, my friends over at Fender recently introduced Fender Play, the complete learning platform from the most trusted name in guitar. And it really is the quickest and easiest way to learn how to play with on-demand guitar lessons through a video-based platform designed to help you play your favorite songs and learn key skills in minutes. For your free trial of Fender Play, check out Fender.com/walking the floor. I mean, come on, how do you think I learned how to play this?
Hey guys, we're Carolina Story.
And you're listening to Walking the Floor.
That was so good. So pro. So pro.
I'm walking the floor over you.
Walking the floor.
I'm walking the floor.
Walking the floor over you.
Hola, senores and senoritas. This is Chris Shiflett, and you're listening to another fine edition of your favorite podcast, Walking the Floor. Okay, so there's one thing and one thing only to talk about today, and that is the big announcement we made last week of a bunch of tour dates for next year. I'm going on the road with Elizabeth Cook and Kendall Marvel in February and March of 2019. We announced it last week. Tickets went on sale on Friday. So go to my website, chrisshiflettmusic.com. All the dates and all the ticket links are up and live, and you can get your tickets now and check out where that tour is going. We've been working on that for quite a while, keeping it a secret, and it's finally out there, and I'm so excited. Can't wait. With my good buddies, Elizabeth Cook and Kendall Marvel. It's all solo acoustic shows. We're going to be out there getting all sensitive with our acoustic guitars, with our Martins and our Gibsons and our Fenders and whatnot. Couple other shows locally. Before then, I'm playing on the 9th of December. A Life Rolls On benefit. I think it's gonna, they shifted it a little bit now, I think, since the fires and all that stuff out in Malibu. It's now a benefit for victims of that as well. And that's at the Rose Room in Venice, December 9th. Life Rolls On. And I think I'm also gonna play a show out in Thousand Oaks that's another benefit for fire victims and shooting victims at a new spot out there called Oak and Iron. I think it's an early gig on December 14th, and I'm not sure 100%, but I think that Johnny Two Bags from Social D is playing that one as well. So, fingers crossed, hopefully. I'll put that info up on the website too. But the big announcement, Elizabeth Cook, Kendall Marvel, Chris Shiflett, getting in a van together and hitting the road with our acoustic guitars, 2019. The first of, well, that's not the first. I guess the first tour dates I'm doing are with Blackberry Smoke, but we're kicking it off January, February, March of next year, and then there's going to be a whole lot more to come. We're working on more dates and still figuring out getting my record out, so stay tuned, kids. All right, again, a big thanks to Fender Play for making this episode of Walking the Floor absolutely free. Don't forget, Fender Play is the complete learning platform from the most trusted name in guitar, available on desktop and mobile, so you can learn anytime, anywhere. And it really is the quickest and easiest way to learn how to play guitar. How do you think I learned how to play guitar? How do you think I got the gig in the Foo Fighters, man? Fender Play! I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it does help. As a matter of fact, when I get done recording this, I'm going to go over there and check out the Dwight Yoakam Guitars Cadillacs lesson that they have up there, because they got all your favorite tunes, man. Fender Play. Make sure you go to Fender.com/walking the floor for your free trial of Fender Play. And also, support for Walking the Floor comes from D'Addario. D'Addario, a fine maker of USA-made instrument strings and musical accessories, who's committed to sustainability through the Playback program, recycling over 1 million used instrument strings. For more information on the Playback program and how to help in its mission of reaching 2.5 million strings in 2018, please visit playback.daddario.com. And also, don't forget our friends at Zounds.com, where every order $599 and above is eligible for their exclusive 12-part payment plan. With no application process, no interest charged ever, And you just pay that first monthly installment and your gear ships immediately. Okay, let's get on over to today's interview. Okay, so I've been doing this podcast for the last few years, and I kind of learned how to do interviews on the job. I was just winging it, you know, really, just by jumping in and starting this thing. And I have found that sometimes, you know, really what you're doing here is you're sitting down most of the time with strangers, and you're trying to have a conversation, a casual conversation with people you don't know, and you don't know what they're into, and you don't know really all that much about them. And sometimes that can be very awkward. But then there's these other magic times where you sit down with people you don't know, and it's just instantly comfortable, and instantly the conversation starts flowing, and you just feel like you're old friends, even though you never met them before. And that's what this conversation with Ben and Emily from Carolina Story was like for me. We just kind of got right into it, and it was just instantly comfortable, and they were great. You know, we talked about all the usual stuff, where you're from, how'd you get started, what drew you to music, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. But then we got into a really honest talk about, like, you know, the trials and tribulations of being a young band or young artist starting out in this industry, and how difficult that is, and how there was a point in their career not that long ago where they thought about packing it in, and then ultimately they persevered and things started to come together, and I'll let them explain it. Here we are. This is Ben and Emily from Carolina Story on Walking the Floor. I've been doing a bunch of interviews this week, and there's been a rugged outdoorsman theme. So I'm going to start with whitewater rafting.
Nice.
Which you're probably sick of answering questions about, but I'm intrigued.
Actually,
no.
Yeah.
No, we haven't had a whole lot.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, great, great. Is, okay, yeah. Well, tell me about whitewater rafting. You were a whitewater rafting guide at one point, and really my main, what I'm getting at here ultimately, is will you take me whitewater rafting?
Absolutely, I will take you. We've just got to get a raft first.
Get some white water.
For 5 years, I've been looking around for used rafts. Those things are expensive.
Really?
You know? Man, yeah, in 2006, I did a Knowles semester, National Outdoor Leadership School.
That's
spent
cool.
a semester and, you know, accredited through the University of Utah. And we were doing tons of rock climbing and backcountry skiing and whitewater rafting and whitewater canoeing. And that's where I really kind of fell in love with it. And we were in Utah. And then that summer, I had a couple buddies that were going to work for a company called NOC in Western North Carolina in Hot Springs, and the small town there on the banks of the French Broad. And so we all, you know, got jobs out there. And we were on the Chattooga River where they filmed Deliverance.
Oh, no actually. Way.
Yeah, so, you know, it was constant banjo music.
Yeah,
you know?
That was the more dangerous
squealing
one, right?
Like a piggy,
really?
You know? Yeah.
Did you ever, like, have a bad experience with that? Did you ever get
Absolutely.
Into an emergency situation?
Yeah,
that was
several.
The more dangerous river.
Yeah, the Chattooga, I think, two, you know, on average, 2 to 3 people pass on that year, on that river a year. It's pretty intense. And I ended up being transferred. I said, hey, man, this has been awesome, but I'm trying to drink beer and hang out with my with my buddies and not have people's lives in my hands
right.
at every moment.
Yeah.
So I got transferred to the French Broad River there in Hot Springs, North Carolina. And that was a little more chill, still intense. But one day we were canoeing on an off day and probably had a little bit too much to drink and weren't really being smart. Not many of us had life jackets on. And one of our buddies, he almost drowned.
Really?
We floated this little creek there that floods after a rainstorm. And we hadn't really scouted it and stuff. So, and there was just nothing much we could do but watch him, you know. And he finally got out of the boat and ended up kicking against a rock and got out. But he was underwater for, you know, close to a minute.
Wow.
That really kind of shook me up a little bit. You
right.
know? I haven't kayaked since. I stay in an open boat. Yeah.
Right.
Now I do whitewater canoeing and, you know, rafting.
Oh, that's something you still do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Wait, are you guys from North Carolina?
No.
So that's the confusing part. I'm actually from South Dakota.
Okay.
Then from Arkansas.
Yeah.
And we met in Memphis.
And
so North Carolina was like our first trip together as a couple. And then also just like, hey, it was on that trip in North Carolina where we decided to start writing music together.
So after I had been a raft guide there and then I met Emily the following year in Memphis, I decided to, you know, I wanted to take her to, you know, some of the places that I loved, you know, the rivers and stuff. And we went on a week-long camping trip, and we were both doing, I was in a band in Memphis, and she was a singer-songwriter, and on that trip, we decided to, you know, hey, when we get back to Memphis, let's start a band. So, Carolina Story, and it sort of stuck. Yeah. You know?
Okay.
We tried to get rid of the name several times.
It hasn't worked yet.
It has fallen us around.
Well, I'm curious, what paths were you guys on prior to that? Like, were you just kind of mentioned you were both in bands or singing or making music, but like, what were you, where had you both been? You know, what's sort of your life story up to that point?
This one, you know? He can spend hours telling you his journey, but mine was a little bit more simple. Like, just as soon as I graduated high school, I knew I wanted to pursue music some way, somehow. But coming from South Dakota, like, you know, the big city was a little scarier. And Memphis was the spot. They had a small independent music school. And I took my chances and went there and graduated there and then met this guy. So,
why isn't some of the hustle and bustle of modern day Nashville spilling over into Memphis? Or is it? And I just don't know.
It's not. And I don't know. I wondered the same thing too.
For a place with such musical, such history, such an important place for this country's musical heritage.
You can almost feel it when you're there.
Yeah. I'm actually grateful that that happened before Nashville for us.
Yeah. I'm glad that like Memphis, you know, was, you know, while we had the idea to start the band in North Carolina. I mean, Memphis is where we started the band and we lived for 4 years, you know. Okay. In school, or almost 4 years.
And are you in Nashville now?
Yeah. We are. We've been there almost a decade. We bought a little house over there in East Nashville.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
before
so
the hubbub.
So. I jumped in there before you had a chance to tell your story to that point.
I'll make it as quick as I can. So I'm from South Arkansas, Pine Bluff, to be exact. And I went and played college football for a semester in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
At Assumption College. And I ended up getting the starting gig and, you know, as a freshman, but I didn't really go to class very much and that didn't work out. So, I ended up
Were you already playing music at that point?
Yeah, I had been playing music in bands. You know, I started playing when I was 12, and, you know, was in a band all through high school. But that band broke up senior year.
What did you do when the jocks fought the rockers, man? Whose side were you on?
I was always the diffuser. You know, I was always the diffuser. Yeah. Like, hey, guys, man, he's a cool dude. Yeah. You know, lay off of him, man.
Yeah, funny.
Yeah, it was always kind of weird toeing that line of, like, playing sports and also being in bands, you know. Yeah. I had friends in all different parts, every little circle and clique, you know.
I'm trying to keep, you know, I have three boys and I'm trying to keep them in team sports. My oldest is going into ninth grade right now, and he's at a phase, or not a phase, he's just at that point where he's like, I don't want to play on the soccer team anymore, I just want to skateboard and surf. And I'm like, it's just so weird as a parent to, I'm like, yes, skateboarding and surfing, yes. But at the same time, I'm like, no, you have to keep doing the soccer. Are you like, is that something you look back on? Did you get something positive out of that experience?
So much.
Right.
Like,
they say it keeps your kids out of trouble.
I can't understate it enough. I mean, you know, we have a son too, so, you know, he'll be four next month, so we'll kind of cross that bridge when we get there. But I think it's something, if he's interested in it, I would like for him to do it, because, you know, just sort of communication skills and, I don't know, sort of heading this outfit up, you know, the last 10 years. And, you know, we've always done our own booking, all these things. I feel like it's really kind of helped me sort of to kind of run the business, so to speak, the band,
right,
you know.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, so I did that, and then I transferred to the University of Arkansas. I'm a big Razorbacks fan, and joined a fraternity, the fraternity that my dad was in.
Really?
Yeah, and was there for a year, and that was a total trip, and I didn't really fit in with that little world either, you know.
Yeah.
I was, my little band in the, or band of friends in the fraternity was like, we would just go camping all the time. We didn't go to school, really, you know.
Right.
And a lot of the other guys in the fraternity, you know, that popped their collars and stuff. And it was kind of a weird rub between my mix of friends and theirs. But, Then we...
I should warn, or I will tell you that I interviewed another Arkansas native yesterday, this guy, Justin Moore. Yeah. And I was wearing, I didn't even think about it because I actually never went to college, so I don't know anything about rivalries or any of that stuff. But I was wearing a Kentucky University t-shirt.
Oh, no.
Because we'd played some soccer there, you know, when we were on tour not too long ago. And when they came
the
in,
like,
what the fuck is that?
Yeah, we don't want that stuff, man. We'll pick two.
Yeah.
No, and so I left there. That's when I did the Knowles semester out west, and then
Brevard.
Then I did the raft guiding thing, and then went to school outside of Asheville in Brevard, North Carolina, for a semester. And then my parents were like, "Dude, get your ass home, man! You need to figure out what you're doing with your life." You know,
right? Did you know at that point, like, I want to make music?
Yeah.
That's
I felt
life.
Like I kind of, there for several years, I tried, you know, sports, and I was doing the fraternity thing, and, you know, I was trying to find my way, essentially, and, you know, the outdoor stuff, always was interested in that. And
well, I was going to add, too, when you were whitewater rafting, you were a guide, you said late at night you guys would get around a campfire and
that was really what kind of reconnected me to the acoustic guitar, especially, you know, after when we'd get done on the river, we'd, you know, get some beer and some moonshine from a dude up the road. And, you know, we had a guy who had an upright bass, and we had a couple of fiddles and mandolins and guitars.
Really?
And we would just play
an upright bass out in the camp and camping?
Yeah, we all lived on, it was like a commune, man.
Okay,
we all lived kind of in these shacks.
I say, man, that'd be tough to be hiking that thing up a mountainside.
No, so it was cool. You know, that was what we did every night. It was, you know, play John Prine and, you know, just all kinds of different traditional songs and Neil Young. And that's where I learned to play the harmonica, you know, taught myself, and just around the campfires. And that was when I really was like, man, okay. Like, music is, that's what I want to do.
You right.
know?
And, even backing up from that, like when you were kids or growing up, you know, what do you think it was that drew you to music in the first place? You know, for me, it was my older brothers, really, ultimately. And luckily, they had good record collections. But, like, what was it for you guys?
Man, that's a really good question. Because I, you know, not unfortunately, but there's nobody in my family that ever played music or did anything musical. So I think it was just me singing along with the radio initially. And my dad always had country music on.
And he still to this day calls it country and western.
Yeah.
My dad does. Which is amazing.
So I would sing, you know, like Crazy by Patsy Cline, and just a bunch of like old traditional country music. And then it was in fifth grade, my teacher took notice and gave me my first solo. And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep pursuing this. And, you know, did piano lessons and all that kind of stuff.
And so, like, what would you say, like, your, you know, kind of main influences musically would be?
Well, it was definitely country music, but then it wasn't until college that I really dived in. And when I met this guy, he really introduced me to a lot of great people. But if I were to pick someone specifically, it's Graham Parsons with Emmylou Harris.
Yeah.
Their harmonies, the harmonies that she picked, like, they just really resonate with me. They're just unique harmonies that I want to learn and pick out.
Right. I've never sort of listen to it analytically.
Yeah,
but, like,
you should.
Is she doing stuff that isn't just sort of picking the third?
No,
You know, she'll do the third for a little bit and then jump up to this weird high thing. It's
right.
So
check
cool
it out
to me.
For sure.
Yeah. What about you? What do you think it was?
Well, and I got to chime in. I mean, Brandi Carlile, really, once you heard the Story album, that really kind of shaped you. And, and really us, too, when we first met. That's how I kind of got to spend time with her, like, she wanted nothing to do with me and at all, you know? And, it was actually my roommate in college. His name was Ben too. And she would, like, tell her mom, like, there's these two Bens vying over me. It's Artie Ben, which was not me. Yeah. I was Football Ben.
Football
so
Ben.
So what a terrible nickname.
Turns out he's
football
the Artie Ben.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, and so I learned, like, most of Brandy's The Story album on guitar and was like, hey, I can play this. You can sing. I'll do the, you know, the Hands Are All Twins kind of harmonies. And, you know, so the first song we sang together was Josephine by Brandi Carlile. And, but anyway, but let's back. We were talking about influences.
Yeah.
Right?
Just like what kind of drew you into music? Cause, you know, from a lot of people, it's church, it's family, it's, you know, environment, whatever it is.
I mean, you know, we both grew up, you know, in the Presbyterian church, you know, hymns and stuff. I can, you know, always, you know, I remember as a kid being in the choir and, you know, I'd sneak in and, like, just play the piano in the sanctuary. You know, I didn't know what I was doing, but those were sort of my first moments of being stirred by music, you know,
right.
The harmonies and hymns and stuff. And then once I, you know, summer of 97, when I was 12 years old and, you know, the Third Eye Blind self-titled album, that one grabbed me. And, you know, then I discovered, you know, when I heard Smells Like Teen Spirit for the first time,
sure.
You know, that stuff, Bush, different bands like that. You know, then Foo Fighters, My Hero, different things. You know, I remember the video and that sort of teen phase is what really, you know, I was like, Mom, Dad, please, like, I want a guitar, you know.
Yeah.
And my dad had always, you know, we would always ride around fishing and stuff. And he was always playing, you know, the band, George Jones, Neil Young, Cat Stevens.
Those your were dad kind of, was cool.
Yes,
yeah.
He is.
No, he's awesome.
He's got a good record collection.
Yeah. I mean, he's the man. And so I attribute a lot of that to my dad, you know. Yeah, Neil and really, yeah, George Jones. My dad didn't love a lot of country music, but he always had George Jones.
Going. That's a good one to go with.
Yeah.
And then when Dad let me hear Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Four Way Street, the live album, you know, that was kind of it for me. You know, when you hear Neil do Cowgirl on the Sand, like that was, yeah, that was everything. It's like, how can I play the guitar like that? And how can it sound that way, you know?
Yeah, how can I play the guitar?
I know.
Like that? I'm still wondering.
I know, I'm still trying.
Well, when you, I don't remember now, I think you might have touched on it, but how did you two come together? I mean, you talked about going out to North Carolina or whatever to go camping, but what was in I guess in college or whatever, you were in pursuit.
Yeah.
And you outmaneuvered Artie Benn. So
I did.
There you go. But like, what was, you know, how did that happen that you guys, you know?
Yeah, man, that was...
It was August 3rd, 2007.
A decade.
Yep.
And
when we met.
I knew he was obnoxious. I was not. It was like one of those things that is like, it was a turnoff. Like you're trying too hard.
If I were to listen to my own wife, she might say I'm more obnoxious now.
Yeah.
I don't think that goes. That doesn't go away. Yeah, that doesn't lessen.
But yeah, it just, it was one of those things. And I also too was like on this path of music. And I was like, well, he's going to ruin that if I
get involved. She always saw my involvement with her or her involvement with me being like something that would derail her sort of dreams to, you know, eventually move to Nashville and you know, start doing music on her own. But lo and behold, that couldn't be further from the truth.
So when you guys got together, it was, because I was wondering if it was sort of the romantic side of it came first or the music side, but it sounds like they were pretty much intertwined.
Yeah. You know, like the music thing, again, I mean, learning that album and kind of presenting that to Emily was sort of my... Then we started hanging out, you know.
Right. And were you guys already writing songs separately before? Oh, no.
Oh, yes, separately.
For sure.
And then how soon was it until you started writing songs together? And I'm curious what that process is, you know.
Yeah.
For you, like, do you woodshed something, bring it in? Do you woodshed something? Or do you just kind of do it together?
It's both of that, for sure.
Right.
I mean,
different.
I feel like... You know, when we first did start writing it, just, it was very spontaneous. I feel like we didn't ever just be like, let's sit down and really try to write something. It was always, I think, you know, the ideas were overflowing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Now I would say it's a little bit more planned out because we have two little kids that we have to say, let's shut the door on the kids and, you know, go write.
I totally get that because, I mean, really, that's why I have this place because I can't do that at home.
No,
because I got three boys and, you know, it's just too much going on there.
Even if you have an idea, you know, it's like really hard to kind of get yourself.
Our son Wilder, he isn't the biggest supporter of Carolina Story. He usually tells us, please stop singing.
He just wants us to take him to the park and play with dump trucks. Although lately, like the only song he knows, the only song is Spanish Pipe Dream by John Prine. And he's always singing that. And he's always, now he's in his little teepee he's got in his room. He's got a little small piano and one of my busted harmonicas.
And the
mandolin, you know.
It's his studio.
Oh, nice. That's about the right size.
And that's his studio, you know.
I will tell you, and maybe it'll be different for you. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, with my own kids, I had them so, like, dialed into my record collection when they were little. And then there's a point where all of a sudden the outside world becomes a bigger influence on them. And now they just think my music is like lame. Yeah, every time I put anything on, they're turn that off.
Check this out.
Yeah, it's funny. You think you're in the clear on that stuff. And then I don't know, you're not. Or at least I'm not.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Well, we'll see. So, yeah, I mean, I'm always kind of, you know, have the gears churning from a writing standpoint. And Emily's really good about just like bringing a line she heard in a conversation or something. And I'll
usually
kind of
the world around.
I'll usually kind of go and take that and woodshed it, as you said. And, you know, being married, I'll bring it to her and, you know, she's usually pretty honest, you know,
right.
Which I think kind of cuts through a lot of the stuff, you know, and you can just get more done, you know.
Sure.
She'll say, that's just really not that good,
right.
You know.
Right.
Oh, man.
Or we save that for another project that's not Carolina Story.
That's not us, yeah.
It's funny, man. I feel like my wife goes out of her way to find something to be, like, she feels like she has to critique it.
Right.
She'll go like, oh, good job.
No, it's
like,
great.
She has to, I don't know about the guitar solo.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not so good.
It could be completely fine.
That's why we're there. You know?
Yeah. That's funny.
Then you'll make a change and she'll say, no, I like it the way it was.
Yeah, the way you did it first. You're overthinking it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a little unusual, a husband and wife, you know, deal working together. Like, what are the pros and also the cons of being married to your creative partner?
Yeah. You know? I think the pro is the con. You know, you get to spend so much time together.
Right.
You know, we have so many friends who, you know, they're married and they have separate, you know, 9-to-5 jobs or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And you know, the only time they get to see each other is, you know, at work, you know, or maybe just a little bit in the morning, you know, or after work, you know, and we're always together, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
But
I'm making
can
sure.
also wear on you, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
I know I can wear on her.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Well, and a lot of times we'll get into the evening and I'm like, you know, let's not talk about them.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Them. She's always like them, or they need to pay us more.
Yeah, they
you
need
know,
to make us more
it's
money.
Like they like, are us.
Yeah.
Carolina Story is just really kind of bringing us down. You know? It's like, well, that's you, man.
Yeah. That's us.
When you guys first started out and first started touring, I mean, you mentioned a minute ago that you were like, you know, booking yourselves and all that sort of thing. Like, how did you get out on the road? Were you touring as a duo or did you take a band? Is the band thing a more recent?
That's a very recent thing,
right.
You know, just a financial situation, you know? We still are booking ourselves. I booked this tour, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
yeah. Not by choice. So if there's any booking agents out there.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It seems like that would be a no brainer.
Well,
yeah.
You know. The music biz,
right?
I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've been DIY until about a year ago. Our label came into the picture, which has been
it's
helpful.
Been amazing.
Which label is it?
They're called Black River, and they, you know, 2 years ago we had kind of pulled back the reins, or 3 years ago when our son was born, and you know, we had been just touring as a duo, you know, about 3 weeks out of every month.
For right. 7 years.
Just for 7 years, you know, really going at a clipping rate and really wearing ourselves down. And
right.
Playing a lot of quantity shows instead of quality. And Anyway, and we kind of, you know, when Emily got pregnant, it was like, hey, let's kind of pull back the reins here and kind of reevaluate because we're burning at both ends here.
Mm.
I started substitute teaching there in Nashville. On when we'd get off the road, I would... You know, which was really interesting. And then, you know, a year in, they offered me this creative writing internship.
Mm.
And so I taught for 2 years creative writing in the fifth grade and coached 4 sports.
Really?
And was working at a bakery, you know, a year and a half ago. And, you know, just music was sort of taken. It was like it was maybe not going to happen anymore.
Mm.
You know, we were always going to be Carolina Story and write songs. And,
right.
And tour a little, but it was the way it was going, you know, it was like, well, you know, maybe the winds are changing. And I had my grad school applications ready to go. And we got a call from our attorney who said, hey, there's this label who, you know, caught wind of you guys. And, you know, would you be interested in coming and playing some songs? And we said, what the hell? And we played 3 songs for them. And, yeah, they, you know, we sort of took our time, got to know each other, and yeah, so they ended up starting Black River Americana, the imprint, for us, because, you know, we're not, they're typically pop country and stuff, is what the river, or the yeah. label does.
Right, right.
And but they said, hey, I don't know how we're going to do this, but we got to be involved. And,
right.
We want to help tell your, you know, help people hear your story. And
well, up to that point, and because there's, it's only your latest record, Lay Your Head Down, that's in Spotify, but don't you guys have other records from before?
We do.
So how come those are not in... digital realm.
Yeah, I think we decided just to pull them back because actually this Lay Your Head Down record has 5 old songs on it.
Oh, okay.
It was like we wanted to take our catalog and look through it and go, okay, let's look through our catalog. Let's pick the best songs that we love.
Like now that we have a platform. Yeah, and exactly. Yeah, it was exactly. Literally going to get the music out
and
there.
Just,
and there's stuff there, I feel, too, that... You know,
I don't think we had found our sound, you know,
right,
like
right.
for whatever reason. And, you know, maybe people would think that's a cop out.
And,
I mean,
you know,
yeah, it was like, I feel like this album is just now, like we've sort of, you know, this album is a snapshot of our last 10 years, you know, of our story together. And, you know, we feel good about it. You know, I felt like this was a good, you know, album to kind of be the first one.
Right.
There, you know?
I mean, in that moment when you were sort of before the record deal came along and you were thinking about maybe, you know, chucking it in or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned going back to school, but did you have like a plan B in mind of what you were going to wind up doing?
Not really.
No, I was going to do, you know, the teaching thing had really kind of taken root and I really took to that and coaching. And
has that given you some insight into parenting?
Big
having
time.
To deal with all those kids,
big
like a
time,
bunch
man.
Of kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and I really, I think it's helped me as a writer too. I mean, I got to, they pretty much let me create my own curriculum, which is kind of mind blowing.
Yeah.
You know, this long haired dude who doesn't have a teaching degree, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we would break down songs, you know, so I had him breaking down Bob Dylan, Forever Young and different stuff. So, you know, I kind of got to learn and research myself, you know.
How
doing
cool.
And to hear those kids come up with reasons why they think Bob Dylan wrote that. Like, I'm sure that.
Or what it means to them. It was really cool to kind of, to impact young kids in that way and turn them on to, you know, the music that impacted me.
Yeah,
you know?
the greats.
Yeah, so whether they know it now or not, maybe in 20 years one of those kids is like, hey, yeah, Mr. Roberts, you know, played me the band and that was that.
Totally. I mean, looking back on that moment, like if the record label thing hadn't come along, I mean, do you think you would have quit? Like, were you at that point?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. Well, I think, like he said, like, I think Carolina Story would still have always existed and we'd still play like those gigs every so often, you know, but it was more like, we got a family now, we got to make money somehow.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, it was just sort of the way it was going, you know, kind of you got to do what you got to do kind of scenario.
And what do you do now when you guys go on tour? Do you bring your kids with you?
Well, some, and sometimes we don't. Like this one is, you know, is sort of the release tour, so it's almost a month.
You're doing this every day?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we've got the band with us. And,
right.
You know, we just kind of went back and forth and ended up, you know, our daughter Lily's 9 months old and or 10 months old, and she's with Emily's parents in South Dakota, and our son Wilder's with my parents in Nashville.
Yeah, that's cool. But
my sister has a farm, you know, an organic farm, so he runs around there and helps them plant and harvest and all that. So we actually went through Sioux Falls on the tour and got to spend a little bit of time with them. So
that's when you really appreciate your in-laws.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Man. So yeah, it's been tough being away from them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. But like, I wanted to say something too, like, you know, once the record deal and all that happened and we sort of got a plan for this album, and when we assembled there in the studio in Nashville, it was, we were getting ready to record Lay Your Head Down, which was the first song that we recorded up for the album. And I looked down at my phone just as we're getting ready to strike the first note, and it was August 3rd, 2017.
Mm.
10 years, almost to the minute, that we had met in a parking lot in Memphis.
No way.
So it was kind of like there's been so far since, you know, the band has been brought back from the dead, so to speak.
Yeah.
There's been all these sort of little nudges from the universe and stuff that's like, hey, you know, kind of keep going, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And since then, like, have you felt like having a good team behind you, is that like, you know, bearing some fruit?
Yeah. I mean, we've found part of the team, and the parts that we have found are the people that are all in, and you know, that's the type of people you want.
Totally.
You know, and
absolutely,
you know, we're missing a couple pieces of the team still, but it finally feels like this is the right track.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think those 10 years, you know, of having some management and just sort of, I don't know, going through this, you know, building your career. We've had some horror stories, you know,
sure.
But that's all I think kind of led us to where we are now, you know, and now, you know, we only want to work with people that may not know exactly what they're going to do with it or how, but they have to be a part of it.
Right.
You know?
Right. So, right. They're excited about it. Yeah. They're passionate about it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Who produced the record?
Our buddy Nick Autry.
I just met.
Yeah, you met Nick a minute ago.
It's so hot in here.
Yeah, I know.
My brain has melted and I lost that memory. Yeah.
Yeah, our buddy Nick, man. When we were talking through producers and just the album and stuff, you know, Nick and I and Emily just kind of clicked. You know, we always found ourselves talking about the same artists or bands or different same sounds and it was like, well, man, why don't you just do it, you know?
Had you worked with him before or no?
No. So Nick runs, manages Soundstage Studios there in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
Ronnie's place and where Nick Rescue Linux is now.
Yeah,
And so Nick runs those studios and they're owned by the label. So that was kind of how we met Nick, you know? And,
yeah.
Which is, you know, it's nice to have the studios there to kind of woodshed stuff whenever...
Yeah,
whenever we come up with some new stuff.
Oh, so you get in there and
just
demo ideas
with Nick,
or whatever. Yeah,
me and Emily and Nick, and just kind of pound it out.
Do you have? I know your record just came out in like what, March or something. So
no, July.
Oh, so it came out
like
in July.
5 weeks.
Oh, okay.
It's like 5. It's
right.
Big.
Okay. But do you have a bunch of songs woodshedded?
Oh yeah.
For the next one.
Yeah. And I think, you know, especially with this song, you know, with this, you know, with Lay Your Head Down, we recorded older songs seven new, you know, I think we're even more anxious now because, you know, some of those songs are really old to us, you know, they may be brand new to some people.
Yeah.
And if you listen to this record, it is all about like that, just that continual perseverance, because it feels like all we've been doing for the last 10 years is just like, okay, just keep going, never give up. So I think we're ready to like move on to the next project and it not be so, you know, but this definitely is.
The next one's going to be your party record.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like an Andrew W.K. record.
Come on, y'all.
Completely out of left field.
Yeah.
Speaking of completely out of left field, I understand you guys have played the Grand Ole Opry like multiple times over the years. What, can you talk a little bit about what that means?
Oh,
you
I
know,
mean,
what that means to you, or what that means to this genre, you know?
Yeah, that's been our biggest honor to date. The first time we played it, well, first, let me way backtrack. The first time we ever were at the Grand Ole Opry, we went on a tour with my parents and did the whole tour, and at the
kind
end
of backstage
it,
tour kind of deal.
And
I remember my mom saying, Ben and Emily, go stand in the sacred circle, because they let you do that at the end
take
of the tour.
Take a picture.
No. Oh, nice.
And Ben was like, nope.
Oh, no.
Not going to stand in that circle until we're asked to play there. You know?
Is that like the chunk of the Ryman?
Yeah.
That
yes.
Moved
yes.
Over there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
So we already, you know, it was very hyped up in that sense already for us. And
You know, thinking we'll never play the Grand Ole Opry.
Right.
But still, I'm
like,
not
going to
sit
stand.
In this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
I want to earn it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then a couple what out how
yeah, and our,
several years later
our good buddy Blake Chansey who produced some stuff for us and was our manager for a short time, dear friend, he set it all up for us. He hooked it up, and I remember we were at South by Southwest. It was my birthday and he called with good news, you know, to say, hey, on June 27th y'all are gonna make your Opry debut.
Wow.
And he introduced us to Manuel. We got to wear like some Manuel.
No way.
Yeah,
really?
Some Manuel
we
stuff.
We went all out for it.
I was like, oh, I looked at the price tag and said, wow, better
that
not.
That shit's heavy.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like really better heavy. Not spill any mustard on it. Or
yeah.
I think you could spill anything on it. I don't think those suits care.
Yeah, they don't. They don't at all.
Just mustard.
Yeah. Like water.
Oh, yeah, just, exactly. Yeah.
But I think too, I was 7 months pregnant with Wilder, our son.
And, yeah, that's special.
So he kind of played the opera too.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't earn it. He didn't do anything.
Ben was hoping I'd go into labor, actually.
I was saying we should, you know, as a publicity stunt, we should at least, like, fake a birth there.
Right,
you know,
right,
like,
yeah,
carry
yeah.
a watermelon out in a towel or something, you know?
Totally. All press is good press.
Oh, yes.
All
good.
Yeah.
Give
that's
birth
funny.
There on the stage.
We gave birth to Hank Jr. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Somehow.
So, yeah, we did that. We made our debut, and it was so cool. David Rawlings' machine was there.
Mm-hmm.
And big fans of theirs, their songwriting, and John Paul Jones was playing with them, and got to meet him.
Yeah,
it was super cool.
That's amazing. I love David Rawlings' guitar playing. Man.
It's
cool,
so unique. You know,
yeah, one of a kind,
very much so. And they asked us back, I think two times that summer, and then a 3-year hiatus. That was when I started, you know, things just weren't working out, and started teaching and.
Hmm.
Again, you know, thought kind of all that stuff was in the rearview mirror for us. Like, man, that was really cool. But, you know, don't think we'll ever get to do that again. And,
right.
And then, you know, with the new album and stuff, they called us back up. And,
cool.
Yeah, and we just, nice. So during
the release
week, we played like a CD release show there in town. We did Grimey's, the record store, and then
nice.
We did the Opry again.
Those are two very different things. Grimey's in the Grand Ole Opry.
That's kind of what we wanted for release weekend.
Yeah.
Like just
that
kind
of sums it all up right there.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was cool to be able to have both of our kids there with us backstage.
Right.
You know,
experience it with you.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's great. Do you guys, speaking of the Grand Ole Opry, this is sort of the Grand Ole Opry of podcasts, I'd like to call it. Would you like to play a song?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That'd be fantastic. And what, you know, I guess before we do that, what's next for you guys? I mean, if your record just came out, I imagine you're on the at the front end of a long year or two.
Yeah, and that's what's so great, like that we get to be full time at this again, you know, and just really put ourselves out there, and we're just gonna keep looking forward.
Yeah, I think, you know, we really want to get back into the studio, you know, pretty soon. I mean, like
this winter
or something, you know, and kind of woodshed some stuff and. You know, continue to tour this record through the spring and really looking to, you know, not headline stuff, and would love to hop on a tour with you know, one of our peers or something, you know.
Yeah. You know what, I'm gonna switch this and have you sing into this one.
This is a song from the new album called We Were Young Once Too.
This old world will chew you up and spit you out without ever asking a question about how you doing or who you are. Days go by, soon become days gone by. You never get to question time. It comes and goes. Come back, baby, come back, let's rewind. Come back, baby, let's go back in time. You and I, we were young once too. You and I, in a schoolyard fire, a summer night and the way you smell after the rain fell. Day first kiss and day first dance, the moment dear hand and gave my heart. Oh, let's go back to the start. Come back, baby, come back, let's rewind. Come back, baby, let's go back in time.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for coming down.
Man, yeah. Thank you for having
me. All right, that was Ben and Emily from Carolina Story. Wow, the power of two people sitting down and singing together just knocks you out, doesn't it? That was great. Make sure you get on over to walkingthefloor.com. I'm going to post links to things we talked about, and you can check out where they are and go see their shows and buy their t-shirts and do all that great stuff. And thanks again to Fender Play for their support. If any listeners out there are interested in learning to play guitar without the usual hurdles, make sure to check out your free trial of Fender Play by visiting fender.com/walkingthefloor. And get on over to chrisshiplettmusic.com. Get your tickets to the Elizabeth Cook, Chris Shiplett, Kendall Marvel tour. It's happening, 2019, baby. All the links, all the dates, it's all there. I'll see you in a couple weeks. Adios, amigos! Yeah.